Welcome to Audio Notes. I'm David Finkel, Artistic Director of Music at Menlo, and it is my pleasure to introduce you to the music you'll be hearing at the festival. For Music at Menlo's 17th season, we'll explore seven incredible decades, singular periods in Western music history that saw intense concentration of the art form's evolution at the hands of its greatest innovators. We'll hear music of the 1710s, when Bach created some of his most inspired instrumental music. On our second and third concert programs, we'll visit the 1790s, when Beethoven emerged as the heir apparent to Haydn and Mozart, and the 1820s, when Beethoven and his own natural successor, Franz Schubert, penned their profound final works. From there, we'll visit the apex of the Romantic period, hearing music from the 1840s by Schumann, Chopin, and Mendelssohn. We'll hear the explosion of new musical styles that marked the 1890s and the Roaring Twenties. And our musical time travel will conclude with the final decade of the last millennium, with works by some of today's vital compositional voices. Audio Notes are designed to enhance your enjoyment and deepen your appreciation of the music you'll be hearing at the festival. I'll be joined by Artistic Co-Director Wu Han and Audio Notes author and producer Patrick Castillo to offer historical and cultural context and a variety of perspectives on this summer's concert programs. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you at the concerts. At the hands of Corelli, Vivaldi, Handel, and others, the music of the Baroque era reached new heights of complexity and expressive depth. But by the early 18th century, one supreme artist had emerged who would be recognized by many as history's greatest composer three centuries hence. Concert Program 1, Bach Ascending, brings together a colorful selection of music composed between 1710 and 1720, setting the stage for Bach's resplendent Brandenburg Concertos.
Following a virtually never-heard Baroque jam, the Trio Sonata in A Major, Opus 3, Number 12, by the Italian cellist and composer Evaristo Felice Dalla Bacco. The first half of Concert Program 1 features music by three giants of the early 18th century: Georg Philipp Telemann, Arcangelo Corelli, and George Frederick Handel. Telemann was recognized in his lifetime as his generation's finest composer. He was unquestionably one of its most versatile and prolific. His output of instrumental music alone comprises 125 orchestral suites and 125 concerti, as well as several dozen other orchestral works, 40 quartets, 130 trios, 145 solo keyboard works, and more.
Some 25 violin concerti survive, which almost certainly represent just a portion of Telemann's total contribution to the genre. The earliest of these date from the composer's tenure in Eisenach, where he served as court secretary and Kapellmeister from 1709 until 1712. This was followed by a stint in Frankfurt, where he remained prolific in the composition of concerti. The violin concerto in A minor dates from this period in Telemann's career. Music historian Stephen Zohn surmises that the concerti of these years predate Telemann's familiarity with those of Vivaldi. Their thematic material is pithy, as opposed to Vivaldi's demonstrative ritornelli. And whereas Vivaldi's concerti explicitly spotlight the soloist, the textures in Telemann's early concerti distinguish the solo instrument from the ensemble to a lesser degree. Mysterious chords in the ensemble violins and viola begin the A minor concerto as if suspended in midair, without the foundation of cello and continuo, and marked by silent downbeats, somewhat disorienting the listener before the entrance of the solo violin.
Thank you.
In this opening adagio, the soloist eschews virtuosity. Rather, depth of expression seems Telemann's prime objective, as long-held notes bloom into poignant melodic gestures. Virtuosity for its own sake, Zone writes, seems to have interested Telemann far less than innovations in scoring, style, and structure. Indeed, the Allegro second movement, a stern rejoinder to the Adagio's introspection, achieves great dramatic intensity through texture and character, rather than instrumental pyrotechnics. The fleet presto finale, while featuring the concerto's flashiest passage work, nevertheless impresses more for its ensemble writing than for its glorification of the soloist. The Baroque Concerto Grosso, a form gloriously exemplified by such works as Vivaldi's The Four Seasons and Bach's Brandenburg Concerti, arose from the formal innovations of the Italian composer and violinist Arcangelo Corelli. His 12 Concerti Grossi, Opus 6, represent a watershed in the history of Western music. The Concerto Grosso involves a dialogue between sections of music played by the full ensemble and more intimate sections played by a group of soloists called the concertino. This convention reflected the structure of the personnel at large musical chapels, which comprised two categories of musicians, the ripieno, or full ensemble, and a small group of soloists. The ripienists were typically players of average ability, whereas the soloists exhibited higher instrumental facility.
Just as, in a later era, Haydn would formalize certain conventions to be crystallized by Mozart and Beethoven, Corelli's Opus 6 laid the foundation for the Baroque Concerto Grosso. The 12 concerti fall into two distinct categories, da camera, for the chamber, and da chiesa, for the church. The concerti da chiesa, numbers 1 through 8, are more solemn and dignified in character and exclude dance movements, which appear in the concerti da camera. Each of the concerti is scored for a concertino of two violins and cello, ripieno strings, and continuo. The 18th century English music historian John Hawkins described Corelli as, quote, "remarkable for the mildness of his temper and the modesty of his deportment," end quote, traits well admired in Corelli's time, especially in so esteemed a public figure. These qualities permeate Corelli's musical style as well. The Concerto Grosso in D major, Opus 6, No. 1, begins with a largo introduction, at once noble and elegant.
Thank you.
The first movement's allegro section sets even-tempered discourse between the concertino violins, fueled by ebullient 16th notes in the cello. This music is punctuated by periodic silences and recurrences of the adagio music, which end the movement on a somber note. The second movement's largo beginning is similarly refined. Here, 16th note runs in the violins launch the music into the allegro section. A contemplative largo in B minor follows, concertino violins combining for a thoughtful duet. The ripieno weighs in, Greek chorus-like, on the proceedings. A resplendent D major allegro responds, featuring broad melodic statements in each voice. A playful dialogue between the solo violins in rapid-fire triplets drives the sprightly finale. For this buoyant conclusion, Corelli allows the concerto's most virtuosic indulgence, yet even here, his aristocratic temper prevails. Within just a few years, the generation of composers in his wake, Vivaldi, Handel, Bach, would inject Corelli's formal innovation with new dramatic fire.
With the successful premiere of the opera Agrippina in 1709, Handel significantly advanced his prospects for a flourishing career as a dramatic composer. The following year, he was appointed Kapellmeister in Hanover, a position that allowed him a fair amount of travel, and he journeyed to London in the early fall. Italian opera, Handel's stock in trade, was in vogue in the English capital, and he consequently enjoyed a meteoric rise to celebrity. The premiere of Rinaldo at the Queen's Theatre in 1711 marked another major success. Handel took up permanent residence in London and became a British citizen in 1727. These first years in London saw the composition of choral music, as Handel aimed to get a foothold in the Anglican Church, and cantatas, in addition to opera. But his best-known work from this period is unquestionably the set of three orchestral suites known as the Water Music. Handel composed the Water Music at the request of King George I for a royal fete on the River Thames on July 17, 1717. Friedrich Bonnet, a Prussian national living in London, noted the performance in his diary. Quote, "Next to the king's barge was that of the musicians, about 50 in number. Trumpets, horns, oboes, bassoons, German flutes, French flutes, violins and basses, but no singers. His Majesty's approval was so great that he caused it to be played three times in all, twice before and once after supper, even though each performance lasted an hour. The evening was as fine as could be desired for this occasion, and the number of barges and boats full of people wanting to listen was beyond counting." End quote. The Water Music comprises three suites in F major, D major, and G major. The second and third suites are often combined into one in performance. In fulfilling the king's request, Handel may have recycled earlier music. The overture that begins the suite number one in F major is scored for a concertino of oboe and first and second violin with ripieno strings and basso continuo. The absence of horns suggests it may have originated as music intended for indoors. Nevertheless, it is a proud and regal music befitting the occasion. The contemplative second movement, too, seems conceived for an indoor setting, its intimate oboe solo floating atop a halting quarter note accompaniment in the strings. The full ensemble comes together for the exuberant Allegro third movement. Horns in particular make a forceful entrance, emerging as a dominant part of the suite's instrumental palette hereafter. The following Andante offers an affecting change in color, setting the trio of oboes and bassoon in dialogue with the strings. Following this introspective D minor episode, the horn-driven Allegro returns. Horns remain in the four in the jaunty minuet. The air is an exquisitely conceived thing, touching and intimate music, while yet sufficiently self-assured to suit the occasion. Horns sit idle for half of the movement before adding a miraculous color with sustained notes in their high register. Horns power the start of the suite's second minuet, boldly announcing the tune sans orchestral accompaniment. Contrasting F minor section places the melody in the bassoon's tenor voice, doubled by second violin, expanding the suite's instrumental palette still further. This is followed by a brisk bourrée, a court dance of French origin, and the festive hornpipe, a dance form related to the English jig. Both are repeated three times, with each iteration differently colored, played first by strings, then by winds, and finally by the full ensemble. Rather than offer a boisterous finale, the suite concludes with a thoughtful andante in D minor, foregoing horns, and ultimately arrives at a somber adagio final cadence. Yet somehow, by Handel's singular alchemy, even in its most inward moments, nothing of the suite's splendor is sacrificed. The Italian composer Tommaso Albinoni was extremely prolific. While some 50 operas survive, the libretto to Candaide, composed in 1734 and known to be his penultimate opera, notes that it is his 80th. He also composed shorter dramatic works, a three-voice mass, and 50 cantatas. His surviving instrumental music includes 100 sonatas, nearly 60 concerti, and other works. Though Albinoni's fine reputation during his lifetime owed largely to his vocal output, his instrumental music was regarded as on par with that of Corelli and Vivaldi. Bach utilized Albinoni's music for pedagogical purposes and composed fugues on subjects taken from his Opus 1 trio sonatas. And it is that body of instrumental work on which Albinoni's legacy endures. His instrumental catalog features four published sets of 12 concerti for various instrumentations, including the 12 concerti Opus 7, each scored for one or two oboes with strings and basso continuo. Subsequent to the oboe's emergence to prominence in 17th century France, the instrument came into fashion in Venice in the 1690s. Albinoni's Opus 7 marks the first concerti of their kind to be published by an Italian composer.
Each of the Opus 7 concerti comprises three movements. The concerto in C major, Opus 7 number 2, begins with the declamatory opening fanfare, presented by the strings in octaves, answered by the oboes in thirds. This sequence establishes the entire movement's prevailing dynamic. Soloists in concert with one another, counterbalanced by the strings en masse. It is music of Corellian refinement rather than Vivaldiesque flair. A concerto conceived more as chamber music than as a soloist vehicle. Indeed, oboes are absent in the Adagio second movement. Following this sober, chromatically rich C minor interlude, oboes return for the vivacious allegro finale.
The instrumental brilliance of Antonio Vivaldi's vast catalog of concerti establishes him as the most influential Italian composer of his generation, and indeed as one of the most important musical figures of the Baroque period at large. In the lineage of great composer violinists, Vivaldi succeeds Corelli with a fury, infusing Corelli's stylistic and technical innovations with incandescent virtuosity and dramatic audacity that would inform listeners' fundamental understanding of music for generations. The concerto medium, intended as a vehicle for soloistic virtuosity, was Vivaldi's calling card and developed into the quintessential Baroque genre largely by his hand. Vivaldi's concerti were of consequential influence on no less a genius than Johann Sebastian Bach. When Bach first discovered the violin concerti of Vivaldi's L'estro armonico, he was helplessly seduced by their high-flying virtuoso quality. It is no exaggeration to say that Bach's Brandenburg concertos are unthinkable without the precedent of Vivaldi's concerti. While the majority of Vivaldi's concerti are for violin, so do they feature a diverse range of other instruments. His output includes 6 concerti for viola d'amore, 25 for solo cello, and dozens more for flute, oboe, recorder, and bassoon. There are concerti for two, three, and four soloists, likewise heavily favoring the violin.
The Concerto in G minor for two cellos, strings, and continuo is the only surviving concerto of its kind among Vivaldi's oeuvre. It was most likely composed, like many of his concerti, for the orchestra at the Pio Ospedale della Pietà, one of four major Venetian orphanages for girls that specialized in rigorous musical training and where Vivaldi served as maestro di cappella. The concerto comprises three movements. The two solo cellos begin the brisk allegro first movement. Following the subsequent entrance of the full ensemble, the intensity never relents. The solo writing throughout features, for its day, uncommonly agile passage work for the cello's bass and tenor registers. The keening largo is an intimate affair. Ensemble strings sit idle as the solo cellos, accompanied only by basso continuo, engage in an ardent duet. The concerto concludes with a high-octane allegro finale.
Igor Stravinsky's oft-repeated wisecrack that Vivaldi did not compose 600 concertos, he wrote the same concerto 600 times, is surely unfair. For if it is true that Vivaldi's concerti have their share of common formal characteristics, Stravinsky's criticism fails to acknowledge the audacity of Vivaldi's musical imagination within that form. The strongest of Vivaldi's concerti combine rhythmic vitality with melodic invention. His understanding of instruments and keen dramatic instinct moreover place Vivaldi's concerto oeuvre among the most thrilling glorifications of instrumental virtuosity in the repertoire to this day. In late 1717, Johann Sebastian Bach departed Weimar, where he had held the post of court organist and concertmeister for nearly 10 years. His ambition to rise to the prestigious post of Kapellmeister, whether at Weimar or elsewhere, set off a bizarre saga between Bach and his employer, Duke Wilhelm, a feud that culminated in Bach's brief incarceration and unceremonious dismissal. Notwithstanding this embarrassing episode, these events also marked a transition into one of the happiest times in Bach's career, as he went on to take the position of Kapellmeister in Köthen. Bach's obituary, written by his son Carl Philipp Emanuel, takes care to note that when he later left Köthen for a position in Leipzig, he did so with a heavy heart, not least of all on account of taking leave of his employer, Prince Leopold, with whom he would develop a close kinship during his time in Köthen. Leopold was an amiable ruler and an avid music lover, and had been responsible for a musical renaissance of sorts in Köthen. After assuming power, he increased the number of court musicians from 3 to 17, thereby having, upon Bach's arrival, a robust stable of musicians ready to serve as muse for his new Kapellmeister, and particularly for an important catalog of instrumental works. The wealth of instrumental talent available to Bach at Köthen afforded him the opportunity to produce such pieces as the suites for solo cello, the sonatas and partitas for solo violin, and the magnificent Brandenburg Concerti. Between 1718 and 1719, Bach had played for the Elector of Brandenburg in Berlin while negotiating the terms for a new harpsichord for the court at Köthen. About 2 years later, he would compose these 6 concertos, scored for varied assortments of instruments, and dedicate them to the Elector. The Margrave of Brandenburg, lacking the musical resources to stage a performance of the concerti, never thanked or paid Bach. But the works came to life nevertheless at Köthen, as Bach had deliberately suited them for the greater number of technically proficient musicians he had at his own disposal. The Brandenburg Concertos mark one of the finest musical achievements of the Baroque era. Each scored for a different instrumental ensemble, they represent the fullest development of the Baroque Concerto Grosso and demonstrate thorough mastery of composing for different instruments. The 6 concerti range in sonic profile from homogeneous string ensembles to works of varied orchestration. The first Brandenburg Concerto, in F major, is scored for 2 horns, 3 oboes, bassoon, violino piccolo, strings, and basso continuo. If its instrumentation featuring brass and double reeds immediately suggests a courtly setting, likewise does the concerto's opening thematic material. A noble ascending arpeggio, followed by a flourish of 16th notes, stately horns pacing the proceedings with repeated triplets. Subsequent episodes deconstruct the ensemble's colorful palette. A gesture in the violins is answered by the oboes, then by the horns. A lachrymose strain in the first oboe, above pulsing chords in the strings, begins the adagio. Violino piccolo responds, with the chords now set in the oboes. Bassoon and continuo take up the melody. As the movement unfolds, these principal voices continue to intertwine like plumes of smoke in slow motion. An impassioned cry by the first oboe alone, followed by a stoic series of chords, brings the adagio to a close. The Allegro third movement, in rollicking 6/8 time, returns to the festive air of the opening movement. The concerto's final movement is also its longest, a refined minuet given splendid voice by the full ensemble. The main minuet section recurs in alternation with three intervening episodes, a thoughtful trio section issued by oboes and bassoon, a polonaise played by strings alone, and a rousing second trio featuring horns and oboes. Bach's generosity in highlighting the ensemble's distinct instrument groups is matched by the finale's overall character. Radiant in its variety of color, warm and welcoming from its first measure to its last. Audio Notes are authored and produced by Patrick Castillo and narrated by David Finkel, Patrick Castillo, and Wu Han. Additional mastering was provided by Dahong Situ. Production support was provided by Nathan Pear. Musical excerpts appear courtesy of the following artists and organizations. Georg Philipp Telemann's Violin Concerto in A Minor, performed by Daniel Hope, Lorenza Borani, Lucy Gold, Stuart Eaton, William Conway, Enno Senft, Christian Besedenhout, Stefan Maas, and Stefan Roth. Georg Friedrich Handel's Water Music, Suite No. 1, performed by the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra. And Johann Sebastian Bach's Brandenburg Concerto No. 1, performed by the Münchener Bach Orchester, led by Karl Richter, appear courtesy of Deutsche Grammophon. Arcangelo Corelli's Concerto Grosso in D Major, Opus 6 No. 1, is performed by the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields and Sir Neville Mariner, and appears courtesy of Decca Classics. Antonio Vivaldi's Concerto in G Minor for two cellos, strings, and continuo, performed by Thomas Domenga, Patrick Domenga, Daniel Phillips, Yura Lee, Lily Francis, Mihai Marika, Anthony Manzo, Bridget Kibbe, and Lucas Uhart, appears courtesy of the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center. Johann Sebastian Bach's Brandenburg Concerto No. 5, performed by Carol Winsens, Philip Setzer, Barry Schiffman, Jeff Nuttall, Leslie Robertson, David Finkel, Charles Chandler, and Kenneth Cooper, is available on Music at Menlo Live. Audio Notes is a copyrighted production of Music at Menlo.